You're listening to DVD Talk Radio.
All right, heading to our first session, spotlight on Bruce Campbell. Should be a good time. Bruce is always very entertaining. There's 18,000 pre-registered guests, and I think that they're all in this room right now. Waiting on Bruce Campbell to...
Six more hours of that. understands it in context. Yeah, that's it. Next on the hit parade, before we go to questions, we'll answer a bunch of your burning questions after we play this next clip. It's from the new THQ video game coming out this fall, which I would call it the next sequel to Evil Dead, because the technology gets better and better, so it actually is more and more like a movie. So there's some new changes in the new version coming out, newer ragdoll technology, which is really going to make it more of a pleasure to play. My son claims that he's 17. He claims that this is the best version. He was not thrilled with the first game. He thought I've heard a lot of complaints about it. The second game was pretty good, but this one, and of course, you'll be the judge of that. So we'll play a couple of clips from THQ, the Evil Dead, what is it, Regeneration? Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Some of the actors
actors who inspired me. I like Bob Hope before he started looking at cue cards all the time. Yes. Is my travel book. You're referring to a book that I referred to in They Love the Bruce Campbell Way. Sir, I hate to tell you this, but it's the book is a novel, it's not real.
Place in Portland.
And but all of the actors are talking like this. So they had to revoice all of the actors. And then they sounded like that. They sounded like they were looped. And I didn't think that was a good idea, particularly since my story took place in East LA. So I asked the Sci-Fi Channel who my Latinos would be, the gypsies, who have no written language and don't speak English. So they relented and I was able to rewrite it for Bulgaria, because as an independent filmmaker, you kind of have to tap dance as fast as you can. So it's a very strange movie for a lot of reasons, and being set in Bulgaria just makes it even weirder. Yes. Have I been successful in finally destroying Sam Raimi's 1973 Delta 88? It's his self-titled name, the classic, that has been in every Sam Raimi movie he's ever done since high school. And I vowed to destroy it because it annoys me so much. It's now being held in an undisclosed location with Dick Cheney and... That thing has been in every movie, including Quick and the Dead, which is a Western. Sam had it stripped down and a wagon built on top of it. Welcome to Sam Raimi. I know I've not been able to destroy it. I have my foot soldiers out looking for it presently. Yes, there. Did I do what to who? Is my book for sale? Yes, it'll be for sale. I think I'm signing tomorrow and Saturday, so check your local listings. Wherever they put up the information, you go to my website, bruce-campbell.com. It might not even be there. You'll check here for where I'm going to be. But if you don't put the hyphen in, you get a Dodge dealership in Michigan. Yes. Well, I'm in Spider-Man 3. Let's do a quick recap, shall we? the first one, as you recall, I named the character. This billion-dollar franchise would have been called the Human Spider if it wasn't for me. And in the second one, I believe I was the only character who's ever defeated Spider-Man.
David Goodman in a rowboat in 1986. So
So one of the DVD actors is actually, we take a chalkboard and we trace out the 80s, the 90s, and the new millennium of where we took the movie to get the money. After you see it, you realize why it took 19 years to make it. Sure. Yes. I was working with Renee O'Connor again on Alien Apocalypse. Well, she couldn't get enough of kissing me the first time around in Xenon. She wanted some more sugar, I guess. I don't know. It was fine. She was just getting back to work. She had a kid. She was ready. She was ready to get at it. And my friend Josh Becker directed Alien Apocalypse. We both worked with her on Xenon. And we knew that she was an absolute professional, really good at what she did, and not crazy. We were a little married. We wanted to surround ourselves with as many non-crazy people as we could. You're welcome. Yes? What's my favorite movie of all time? We mentioned Bridge on the River Kwai earlier. That's my favorite movie. Because it was not written for 17-year-olds. It has a thing called, score. And it has William Holden, my favorite actor, who can kick Ben Affleck's ass any day of the week.
Outside.
have a ratings board or don't have a ratings board. Don't have a bogus ass ratings board. Stupid. Embarrassing. Yes. What's that? And Sky High, one of my superpowers, he has a sonic booming voice. That's why you see shockwaves occasionally coming, digital shockwaves coming from my mouth. So sorry, that's the best I can do. Yes. Stand up and speak louder, sir.
Do I prefer Halo or Killzone?
Oh, God. You're assuming that I'm a gamer. I say the words, I don't play the game. Sorry, man. Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit about working with Ozzie Davis?
Tell us about working with Ozzie Davis and Bobo Hotep. He was, I think he was 83 when he got to us. He was probably he had the most poise of anyone I think I've ever met. He was really unflappable. His first movie was about 1945. He knew JFK. He was playing JFK, which is part of the joke of the movie. He was just a great guy. Nothing really, he was unflappable. The difficult thing with Ozzie was getting the script to him, because his agents would not show him the script. We submitted it, made an offer, here's what we're shooting, here's how much we want to pay you. No, we're not showing it to him. What is it, the cancer on the penis part? What is it? We're not showing it to him. I think they thought it was too cheeseball or whatever. So Don Coscarelli, who a director who knew Ozzie Davis' home number, called him at home, arranged to get the script to him, and within a couple of days he said yes. So in Hollywood, movies are often made in spite of Hollywood. Yeah, over here. You already have your book signed, so you're getting the like signing rules here? Is that where we're at? Yeah, if you've got a stinking book, I'll sign your stinking DVD. One of them. Yes, over here. Yeah, it's amazing. I pointed here and it comes up there. What did I pick for? Not so
wrong. You're going to narrate the upcoming Ultimate Spider-Man game.
Well, I narrate the new Spider-Man game. Sure. Yeah, somewhere in the back, but sure. Whoever talks loudest, I guess, will win. Louder, sir, louder. That's on the internet, so it must be true, so let's talk about it. We had a 5-minute conversation with New Line about it, and that 5-minute conversation will haunt me for the rest of my life, because now it'll never go away. And the 5-minute conversation was this: what can we control? Only Ash. Okay, so 2/3 of the movie could suck, and we have no control over it. That's right. So how would I know that I could kill Freddy or Jason? Because there'd be no reason to be in that unless Ash could kill both of their doughy asses. There's no guarantee of that. And when you make another Evil Dead movie, which would be like part 3.5, you expect to make some money, but we'd be splitting the pie with 2 other franchises who have invited us into their world. It's a bad idea. It's a bad idea. So we said no. That's why it was a 5-minute conversation. Plus, where does it take place? Sacramento? Where did these characters come from? What are the rules? There's 3 sets of universal rules of what's happening there. What monsters and how they die and how they live. So it's a bad idea. Yes, further back. Wherever, go for it. Do me out of you guys. Alright, this man is cupping his mouth. Yes. What is my next book project? As I alluded to earlier, creative decisions are based on economic reality.